Well, good evening, good night, good morning, wherever you are listening from. This is Martin Horst speaking on BBS Radio, your host again on ET First Contact Radio. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. I have a very interesting guest tonight. His name is Wilbert Stuifberg, and he's a Dutch researcher in the... Okay, so his name is Wilbert Stuifbergen. Okay. Well, he's living in The Hague. But before I interview Wilbert, I will announce some great news. So, to give you the first news. Since October 15th, I'm occupying The Hague with a group. We are in the center of The Hague, and we are with tents, army tents, and there's a lot of interaction, and it's very interesting to see the group dynamics. But the news from today is that there will be a ship in the North Sea, in the international waters, a huge ship with an antenna, and there will be a radio station where we are camping from the Occupy movement, and the radio station will be transmitting through the whole of the Netherlands. And probably we are going to do it internationally, that we are going to transmit through the frequency modulation, FM, even in England and Belgium. But that's for later. But I spoke to the press today on the phone, and they are going to announce on all commercial television stations and radio stations in the Netherlands tonight in the news that there will be this radio station. So, opportunity is enough, and I think that my show on BBS can continue. Of course, it will continue forever. And what I can do is that on Monday evening, when I have my show, I mean, it's evening in the Netherlands, that we can link both stations and transmit simultaneously. So we'll have listeners in the Netherlands and all over the world with BBS. So that's the news. So I want to announce Wilbert Stuifbergen. Welcome, Wilbert.
Thank you.
So first of all, can you share a little bit with the listeners about your background?
My background. I got unemployed in 2006, and then I had to go from the unemployment agency in The Hague back to my home. And then each time I crossed the Peace Palace in The Hague, I lived close by. And each and every time there was a Chinaman. His name is Mai Long Bing. And he had some information on small leaflets about the organ harvesting in China. People getting killed for their organs and then being cremated. And that's the start of my journey, which I'm taking now for 5 years. So, and then I'm a poet. So the first thing I did was making poems on that matter. It's the group Falun Gong. That's the main target in China. They were in 1999, some 70 million up to 100 million practitioners of this meditation sort. And they are, this meditation sort is forbidden now in China since 1999. And they are the main target. They are being killed by the Chinese army for their organs.
Well, that's, of course, very shocking to hear for many people, first of all. This show is normally focused on extraterrestrial news and UFOs, etc. This time we have an exception because this news is not spreading. This news that Wilbert is telling about the cruelty that's happening in China is not talked about enough on the mainstream media, so that's why we do it here on BBS. So, Wilbert, where do you want to start with?
Well, let me start with, first, I'm a member of a small coalition. It's an international coalition called CIPFG. I'm one of the two Dutch members of this coalition. CIPFG means Coalition to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong in China. It's a small coalition. It's got the most members, I think, in North America, in USA and Canada. Mm-hmm. And this coalition investigates the persecution of Falun Gong, and in particular the organ harvesting. It's a main target. So I'm a member of that coalition, and as such, I've been, for instance, I've been talking to the Foreign Affairs Foreign Office here in The Hague, in the Netherlands, and I also contributed with meetings. For instance, this April, our Dutch member of European Parliament, Hans van Balen, he's a member of the Liberal Party here in The Hague, in the Netherlands. He met with David Kilgour. He's a former Secretary of State from Canada. And Kilgour is one of the co-authors of the book Bloody Harvest about this killing of Falun Gong for their organs. So that's one of the things that I do. I try to talk with, for instance, the Foreign Affairs, and I am, what do you call it, an in-between, a go-between something, to get people...
Intermediate.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So that's one of the things that I do, and sometimes I try to get journalists involved. Oh. Can I talk on?
Yes, sorry for the cell phone.
Continue. Okay. Well, I try to get journalists, for instance, interested, or well-known people here in the Netherlands, for instance, comedians. There's one comedian, Eric van Muiswinkel. He has been our... if you can call it that way, our greatest success. He got interested in what's happening to Falun Gong, and he started his action to boycott the Beijing Olympic Games. And we didn't succeed in that. There's not, to my knowledge, that any Olympic athlete or sportsman or women did boycott these games. But anyway, this comedian, for instance, he was very prominent in the newspapers and the television shows to talk about his goal to end the genocide happening today still in China. Yeah. So that's one of the few things, or one of the things that I try to do. I don't have to be myself on the television if such a person like Hans van Balen, the liberal, or Eric van Muiswinkel, the comedian, they talked a lot and they still talk a lot about these matters.
Interesting. So you have contact with the local media and with the local politicians?
Well, local, yeah, here in the Netherlands.
Let's call Dutch media local media.
Yeah, okay.
Because we are on an international radio.
Yeah, station. you're right.
Okay.
Yes.
And of course you have been interviewed by several people in the Dutch radio and television. You also call into radio shows. You said on May the 4th you called in.
Yes.
During dinner. Thank you for the soup, Heidi. We were invited for dinner tonight at some wonderful friends here, and the soup was very good. So thank you, Heidi.
You're welcome.
Okay, good. So, Wilfred, back to the topic.
Yes.
You have called into Prem. He's a guy on the radio.
Yeah, it's got a talk show on Radio 1, a national radio here in The Hague, or in the Netherlands.
Netherlands.
And he's got, he thinks I'm a good guy, so especially on the China matter. So if I call in, he thinks I'm a good talker, and he says you always have good, reasons, or good points.
Topics, yeah.
Yeah, good points. So he lets me in, and on the 4th of May, it's the remembrance of the people being killed in the Second World War here in the Netherlands. And there was one topic, it's got to do with the Occupy movement. They stand close to the, in Amsterdam also, here in the Netherlands, close to the Beurs van Berlage. And that's the spot where Chinese bodies have been exhibited.
In an exhibition, yeah.
Yeah. And these people, they can't promise that these people have not been executed by the Chinese regime, because in America they lost a lawsuit, and the very same company, it's called Premier The Exhibition, they lost a lawsuit in America. So we protested outside of the Beurs van Berlage against this just innocent, anonymous Chinese bodies exhibition.
Yeah, but for the English speakers, Beurs means the stock market.
Yeah. And that's one of the places where at this moment the Occupy movement is protesting in Amsterdam. And at that very same spot, the stock market of Berlage, that's where these Chinese bodies have been exhibitioned. And now the company who hired these, these bodies, mm-hmm. everybody can rent them for some time to run this exhibition. They now cannot guarantee that these people have not been killed by the Chinese government. So I think that's, and that was one of the reasons that I called in the radio show, because in the very same spot there was a memorial concert of the people being killed in the Second World War. But in effect, at the same place, these Chinese bodies, maybe victims of the Chinese government, they have been exhibitioned there. So it's very weird that the very same company, they do a memorial of the Second World War, and they also exhibit just anonymous Chinese bodies. So it's really weird.
Very ambiguous.
Yes.
It's an ambiguous situation.
Yes. But anyway, that's one example of how I can reach to the national, here in Holland, the national broadcasting or radio television.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So yes. Maybe the next topic will be interesting to talk about the book.
Yes. There is a book made by written by two Canadian authors. They are both lawyers. One of them is David Kilgour. He's a former Secretary of State for Asia Pacific for Canada, and he's also been a year-long Crown prosecutor. And the other author is David Matus. He's a international human rights lawyer, and they both co-wrote the book "Bloody Harvest: Killing of Falun Gong for Their Organs." And they already gathered 52. Forms of proof that this is actually still happening in China from 2000 until today. And the report in an earlier version from January 2007 can be seen on the internet. You can check, you can Google the words Bloody Harvest, or you can check the website www.organharvestinvestigation.net.
Very, very, very crucial information to check this out. Could you please repeat those websites?
Yes, of course. The website is called www.organharvestinvestigation.net.
Okay, and there was another one?
Well, if you Google the words Bloody Harvest, then you also find this same website.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also short, it's good.
Yes. Is there more content of the book that you would like to discuss?
Well, I met Martin at the Occupy movement here in The Hague.
Yes,
and I think it's about the economics and the, abuse of, how capitalism is ruining our world. Well, China is the most severe capitalist country today.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you why. Because China has labor camps. They call them Lao Goi. These labor camps are actually concentration camps. Nobody knows how many millions are kept in those places, but they all work for the export industry in China. And it's well known that at least half of these prison population is Falun Gong, and they are working as 100% slaves. They don't get paid nothing. They are abused. They're being tortured in every way, but they work as slaves for the Chinese export industry. So if you wonder how China gets so rich that they can buy, for instance, half of the harbor of Piraeus in Greece, or they buy half of the harbor here in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, for instance, Hutchison Company or ECT Company, they are, for a large part, they are now Chinese government property. So that's one part, the pure 100% pure slavery happening today still in China. That's how China gets rich. And after these slaves, these Falun Gong slaves, have been abused as slaves, they are being killed for their organs, mostly by military surgeons, and then the body parts remaining are being cremated.
Mm-hmm.
And the cremation part, that's what really struck me, because that was the first thing that made me aware this is Second World War shit. This is Nazi shit, the cremation part. Here in Holland, we say, I was born in 1957. We say, I was born after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And by the war, we mean the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not true anymore. I'm not born after the war. The war is happening now. It's literally the same shit. It's crematories. It's practiced like Josef Mengele. He was the doctor who butchered people just for experiments in Auschwitz, in Nazi Germany. Well, at this moment, there are thousands and thousands of surgeons like Josef Mengele, but they now have Chinese names. And one of the names I can call, it's Dr. Liu Guoping. He is on video as a counter movement, I think you can call it. The Chinese embassies have produced a video with this doctor because this doctor was mentioned. He was mentioned by the two Canadian guys in their Bloody Harvest report. They recorded 15 telephone conversations. And one of these telephone conversations was they interviewed Dr. Liu Guoping via telephone from Canada or America to China. And he openly admitted that they used Falun Gong for this organ transplant business. And if these people, they asked, do these people know what they're used for? Oh, no, they don't know. Why should they know? And he said, but have they been blood tested? Because they have to test the blood and the tissue of the people, of their body. They have to make comparison if these are similar to the people who receive these organs. And he said, well, they don't need to know. And if they don't want to blood test it, it's no problem. Why do you worry about that? It's literally what he said. And now this Dr. Liu Guoping is on a video distributed by the Chinese embassies and consulates. It's a 3-minute 18 video, and it's available on our Dutch website. I think you can check cipfg.nl/files/, and there you find the video available. They distribute it by the Chinese embassies. It's really incriminating evidence because first the Canadian reporters had only his name on the telephone records, but now the Chinese themselves, they gave also the image of the very same. So they shot themselves in the foot.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yeah.
But Wilbert.
Yeah.
The information that you are now sharing worldwide via BBS radio makes me silent. I mean, it's difficult to find words for the things that are happening.
Yeah.
But may I add something to what you're explaining?
Of course.
I have told you earlier about Japanese and Chinese companies
Mm-hmm.
that are probably using those slaves where you were speaking about in these concentration camps.
Yeah.
And a company like Samsung and Sony there's evidence for it that they are involved in these concentration camps. Yeah. Sony and Samsung.
Yes.
And Apple. Don't buy Sony, don't buy Samsung, don't buy Apple. Boycott. There's one Japanese company that was founded in 1918. And the name of this founder is Konosuke Matsushita. And Matsushita means under the pine tree. And he was born in 1894, from a poor family. And this guy, Konosuke Matsushita, founded a company, Panasonic, in 1918. He had a Buddhist background from the 12th century of Nichiren Daishonin, who was a Buddhist in the 12th century in Japan. This man was very very aware of economics and ethics. So they are using green products that last for 50 years sometimes. If you buy a radio, there are still radios and amplifiers from Technics and Panasonic. Because Technics is the brand name for Matsushita. And there are still people using a Technics amplifier that's 30 years old or 40 years old and still running. But if you buy a Sony product today, it's 65% of the products, they have a chip that's blowing itself up after 30 months. Meaning, the guarantee is normally standard 1 year, 12 months guarantee. But in 65% of the products, there's a chip, it blows itself up, and you cannot use the product anymore, so you have to buy a new product.
Yeah.
But there's no, you cannot prove it because it's done in 65% of the of all sold products. But anyway, there's evidence to find on the internet that Sony and Samsung are using these concentration camps for slaves in China. But I was speaking about a positive, because we also have to bring the positive news out here, which is Panasonic. Because Panasonic is using Japanese employees. They are trying not to have too many factories overseas, like in China. And they use bamboo material for capacitors in their products. So the bamboo plantages that are spread over Japan and other countries are extracting the carbon dioxide from the air. And then there's something else I want to add to it. It is that Panasonic has a joint venture with Philips since 1954. He met Anton Philips in Eindhoven in 1954.
Yeah.
But so I will continue with your topic after this. So what I want to say to all listeners: boycott Sony, boycott Samsung, boycott Apple, and always buy Panasonic.
Okay.
Because they are not using slaves, and they have ethics. Because Konosuke Matsushita, the founder of Panasonic, made a contract, a testimonial, because he died in 1989, that his philosophy of the company would always be there.
Would always remain the same.
Would always remain the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah.
So, these Japanese authors of the book, David...
Canadian.
Japanese, yes, yeah. Canadian. Could you share a little bit about their work recently? What are the recent developments going on?
Well, the recent developments are that they had already on statistics, it was shown by the China Liver Transplant Registry. They showed the statistics about the liver transplants in China, and their statistics give you in one piece of paper, in one picture, it tells the whole story, because they wrote a book about 200 and some 50 pages or something. But if you see this one picture about the statistics, you can see that from 1999 on, the organ, the liver transplants rise hugely from practically zero up to almost 3,000 a year, and then it goes a bit down, and then it stays on the same level, 2,300, 2,000, 2,100, up till 2009. It is some, I think it's, let me see. I have it here. In 2009, it was 2,181, but it still goes up. Whereas the number of executions, because China says, well, the huge part of the donors are executed prisoners, but it can never be true because the executions drop. So how can the number of executions drop whereas the number of organ transplants stays on the same level. It's not, it makes no sense. It's a simple arithmetic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the here I have the new statistics. They have been published in March 2010 in Madrid by the Deputy Health Minister of China, Huang Jifu. So it's a minister from Department the Deputy Health, and his name is Huang Jifu, and he stated that the number of liver transplants immediately following the 2007 drop in executions was 2,334 for 2008, and for 2009 it was 2,181. So these are officially acknowledged numbers. So they are in what I call it. It doesn't like match with the drop in executions. So this is another sign that Falun Gong, they are the main source for these organ transplants. Because if I go back in the first part of the research done by these Canadians, David Kilgour and David Matus, in their Bloody Harvest report, they state that there was one exception with the other prisoners. Falun Gong were all blood tested and tissue tested. And this was not because they were afraid of their health. No, because they were tortured and also sorts of other things happened to them. But they want to get the information about the organs. And they were also, their eyes were being looked at because of the corneas. So these are one of the few, one of the 52 forms of proof that these Canadians gathered. And like I said, they also had telephone investigations, like I referred to earlier, about this Dr. Liu Guoping. So these are 15 telephone investigations where all the hospitals and doctors and even some courts openly admit that they use Falun Gong for these organ transplants. And then I could emphasize the role of these courts, because the juridical courts in China, they are they have the job to distribute the Falun Gong prisoners to the place in China where they need the organs. So it's really, the courts should talk, do justice, but they don't do justice. They are incriminating themselves because they work along with the Chinese government to kill these Falun Gong, because they put them in a place where they need the organs. So it's really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so yes. that's it's another example of the complete lack of justice in China. And for instance, there was it had nothing to do with Falun Gong. The example I'm going to give: two men, they were sentenced to death because they had killed their wives. Okay, so one of them was already being executed. And what happens? The two wives, they show up. They were all alive. There was nothing happening. That, in a nutshell, is the juridical practice in China. There's nothing juridical. There is no justice at all in China for nobody, and especially for Falun Gong. I think that's the largest taboo. You can't talk about it. If you talk about Falun Gong, you're being imprisoned or you get sentenced for whatever. So that's one example. I'm going to take my tea.
The tea
is gone. Very important notice, the tea is gone.
We'll come back in a few minutes. I will play some nice music. Stay tuned, because this show is so interesting today. Wilbert.
Yes?
There was a question I had about the Olympic Games before we start the music in Beijing.
Yes.
Erika Terpstra, the story you told me last week.
Yes.
I will find some music while you tell the story.
Okay. Yes. Well, Erica Tepsra, she's a former politician, and she is also the former chairwoman of the Dutch Olympic Committee. And as such, she was in favor that the athletes just went to Beijing and they don't have to do anything with politics. Like she said, it's not their task. They should simply do the sports and just and nothing else. But there, I met her a couple of times, and on two occasions, I wanted to give her the report, the Bloody Harvest report from the two Canadians. And she said, I don't want to have it because I know everything about China. I know everything, so you don't need to give it. But she said, we want to deal with China in a talkative way. We want to talk in a quiet way. But, well, if the crematories are still in China, like very similar to the Nazi times, I think you have to stop talking and do something. And the Olympic Charter, it really simply states that Article number 5 from the Olympic Charter, it states that any Olympic sportsman and woman should fight against every form of discrimination based on religion or sexual favors or anything. So it's really simple. Everybody should fight, but nobody fights. And especially Erica Tepsen is not. And if you talk about discrimination, here people get discriminated in such a way that they're being cremated. It's very the same thing as what happened to the Jews. So if that's not for you a reason to fight, I don't know. So Eric van Maarswinkel, he is the Dutch comedian who asked her, well, if you don't want to boycott the games, well, let's then not cheer if somebody wins a Olympic medal. We had the Holland Heineken House, so it's sponsored by Heineken. Everybody knows Heineken, the beer company. He said, well, let's not cheer there, because it's really bizarre if the crematories are very just around the corner in Beijing, in Shanghai, everywhere in China. And what was the answer of Erica Terpstra? No, they should party if they have a medal. Well, it's bizarre. In short, I say it politely, this woman, she's got no decency. Such a woman, I don't want to shake hands anymore. It's totally bizarre. If the crematory is around the corner and you still want to party, there's something wrong with your head.
And with your heart.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, first of all, I want to thank Carlos for financially supporting my show. Carlos is a friend of Lucas, and Lucas has a beautiful website, lucas2012infos.com. And Lucas is a dear friend of me, and I count Carlos also as my friend because he's contributing my show every week financially. Mm-hmm. So I would like to have an applause for Carlos. Alright, so now I have here my introduction music because I don't have my own laptop here. Because I'm at the Occupy movement, and logistically it's all a bit complicated, but I found my tune on YouTube, the tune of ET First Contact Radio. I'm your host, Martin Horst, so I will let you enjoy the tune and we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Thank you. Nations is in our ISIS group. En er zijn drie rechtszaken, internationaal wegens genocide.
ET First Contact Radio welcomes everybody in the world who is listening to BBS Radio. This is ET First Contact Radio, your host Mark Norst. Next to me is still Wilbert Stuifbergen.
Yeah,
hallelujah, revolution. We are still at the Occupy movement. We'll go back to the Malieveld in the center of The Hague, very close to the parliament. And we'll celebrate a bit there, because with the news that we have a radio station transmitting from a ship in the North Sea is great news. And one of the first people that I will interview there will be you, Wilbert.
Yes.
About this topic, so that we have more listeners. This will be on frequency modulation frequency, so FM. And frequency will probably be 107 megahertz.
Well, it's good news.
And of course, the handicapped lady who was already 3 weeks before the manifestation on the 15th, Occupy Everything. She was already with her wheelchair protesting at the parliament.
She was the first one. She started it. She told me today. Yeah.
So, this is a big celebration.
Okay.
And then, of course, again, thanks to Carlos, who was financially contributing this show, so that we can continue to bring out the news about UFOs, ETs, and first contact and disclosure. Wilbert.
Yeah.
I first want to share with the listeners the website of Lucas, who connected me to Carlos. His website is www.lucas2012infos.wordpress.com. Thank you, Lucas, and thank you, Carlos. So now we go back to the topic.
Okay, let me first state my own email address. Perhaps it's good for some listeners, I don't know.
Great idea.
So my email address is wilbert@cipfg.nl. So I'll repeat, wilbert@cipfg.nl. That's my email address. So if people want to react in that way, it's okay.
Well, thank you. Wonderful. So maybe there will be people listening in Canada or Madagascar or in China or whatever can connect with you, so that you can... because the listeners on BBS are very aware of the situation in the world. Of course, they are aware of Ascension and ET contact and what's happening behind the scenes. I interviewed people like Sheldon Idle, Mike Quincy, who channels Salusa from Sirius. Very interesting people. I will tell you more about it later, Wilbert.
Okay.
But so let's go back to China and the slavery and the concentration camps.
Yeah. Perhaps I should first give some other sources about the organ harvesting, mainly on Falun Gong, because it's also happening to other prisoners, like the Uyghur people. So that's another group, but not as large as Falun Gong, but these people were already in the 90s being killed for their organs. But anyway, there is a statement made by the United Nations Committee Against Torture. They stated, they asked China in November 2008, they asked China to investigate the organ harvesting on Falun Gong people, and they also asked China to punish these the people responsible for these killing for their organs. So that was on the November the 21st in 2008. So, and I'll just read you from this. You can find it on the section Media Alerts on the website from the Canadians, on the Bloody Harvest report. I'll read you. It's page number 10. Allegations concerning Falun Gong practitioners. Well, I don't read you the whole thing, but what's important in this statement by the United Nations Committee Against Torture, is that they follow the same, chain of thoughts as the Canadians, because they see there is a, it coincides that the increase in organ transplant operation coincides with the beginning of the persecution of Falun Gong. So they see it's not just at random, because the increase in organ transplants, it rises, and also the increase of the that the Falun Gong are being imprisoned. So that's a real important part of this document from the United Nations Committee Against Torture. There's another source in China itself, Gao Xisheng. He is a lawyer. He was once one of the top 10 lawyers in China. And he got in trouble when he tried to do Falun Gong cases. Because Falun Gong, they are generally, they are being imprisoned because they practice Falun Gong. But these people, they don't get normal cases. If this lawyer, Gao Xisheng, he went to court, he said, I want to represent Falun Gong. The court says, well, they don't get represented. It's really bizarre, again, about the juridical system. So he got into trouble because he tried to represent these Falun Gong prisoners. Accreditatie as his accreditation as a lawyer, mm-hmm. his permit as a lawyer. It was cancelled. His office was closed just because he tried to represent Falun Gong. But he started then writing public letters to the Prime Minister of China and the President of China. He wrote three large letters, and it made him get in trouble even more. And he was being imprisoned. He is being placed under house arrest. They tried to stage a car accident, but he saw it coming. So he was very aware, so he didn't get in this car accident. That's a well-known way in China to try to get rid of, people the government doesn't want. But anyway, one of his last letters was written to the United States Congress. It was written on September 12, 2007. And here he addressed, on a large part of this letter, went about the persecution of Falun Gong. And he states several things. He mentioned all sorts of things, the killing, the torture. He also states here, a large but unidentified number of children who were expelled from school and left homeless because their parents weren't being abducted. But the children, they didn't care. These people, these children, they just went about the, they roamed about the city, they roamed about the streets. People don't care. It's just a children's life. It doesn't mean anything. And he also meant that here he says, tens of millions who lost their jobs and financial source, who lost their freedom and were not allowed to leave China. Well, he also mentioned the organ harvesting. He is a Chinese citizen, and the troubled part is that he may be killed already, because we didn't receive any sign of life from him since April 2010. So it may be that he already has been killed, or that he is being kept in an illegal prison somewhere. So that's but that's about Gao Xisheng. I think I didn't say his name quite good again. Gao Xisheng, he is one of my heroes.
Mine too. Anything else important?
Well, there are corroborating studies, so there are other studies who also acknowledge that this organ harvesting is happening in China. There are four or five other studies who come to the same conclusion that this is happening. So you can find them also on the website of the Canadians, www.organharvestinvestigation.net. So it's not just the report made by the two Canadians. There are four or five similar studies who come to the same conclusion, that Falun Gong are being killed for their organs and then cremated. So, and there's another, I don't know if he's Canadian or American, it's called Ethan Goodman, and he also investigated this organ harvesting, and he did a different line of research, but he came to the same conclusion. So if you Google his name, Ethan Goodman, he lived for 10 years or more in China, and so he knows China from the inside, and he says, well, this is a really a horror story. So that's one of the other investigators, not just these Canadians, Kilgore and Mattis. Also, Ethan Goodman did his own research in a different direction, but he came to the same conclusion.
Okay.
Yes. Take some tea. I will talk a bit, all right?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Well, we are almost at the end of the universal cycle of the Mayan calendar, which will end on this Friday. Friday will be the 28th. And Saturday will be another big Occupy protest worldwide. And it's important because on Friday we'll come into unity consciousness. We are already in unity consciousness. But it's the end of all creation and the beginning of a new creation. And 16.4 billion years ago, according to Kalaman and Ian Xell Langold, according to their research on the Mayan calendar, all cycles end on October 28th. And there are nine cycles, and every time you go up in a cycle, the time accelerates 20 times. So what's happening is that there were some interesting reports in the newspapers in the Netherlands anyway. I don't know about international newspapers, but some very important people in very high positions in the media and in the politics that received royal rewards from the Dutch royal family are reported in the newspaper as passed away. However, according to the information of Wonder of the Skies, those people did not pass away, but they are being imprisoned in safe locations so that the disclosure announcements can happen. And now I'm going to connect this information with your information, Gilbert, because I think, according to this information from Wonder of the Skies, Sheldon Neidel and Mike Quincy Salusa, because those reports about people in very high positions with a lot of power being imprisoned in safe locations by those ETs, because those ETs are benevolent. And but the thing is, Disclosure is going to happen very soon. Disclosure is unveiling in Dutch of extraterrestrial life and of the NESARA program. NESARA is National Economic Security and Reformation Act. It's a program of abundance, that there will be money for everybody, that all debts will be forgiven. But the thing is that because those people passed away, those reports are in the newspapers, means that they are being captured, and I will give you the website of Richard, a friend of me. His website is www.free-spirit-insight.nl. And Richard made a summary of all recent channelings about those arrests. And people can check it out. So, about China, there are also people in China with positions of power. Because this phenomenon of those arrests, those people that passed away, is not only happening in the Netherlands, but everywhere on this globe, on this tiny little dust of sand in the galaxy. So I think those slavery camps and things like that will soon end.
I hope so, but yeah. I'm afraid it will take a long time. If I look at the current situation, it may take a very, very long time. And I also think if you watch the Arabic Spring and the Jasmine, if I call it right?
Jasmine
Revolution. Well, things can change very rapidly. So you never know, but I don't expect it to, It's already been in the since the 30s that Mao is first was in power, and he already killed some sources in China say that he killed 100 million of his own people separate what do you call it occasions. So and nobody ever got punished for that in China. So, but you never know.
Well, you know what? Yeah. The coin has two sides. The coin has two sides when it's standing on this side.
Yeah.
Negative and positive. The negative is the story that you're explaining. I mean, it's very positive that you're investigating, you're taking action.
Yeah.
The negative part is that this is happening since the 30s, since Mao said.
Yeah.
However, in China, in Japan, in the Asia-Pacific region, is a group, I told you about it before, it's called the White Dragon Group. And Benjamin Fulford lives in Japan. He was recently interviewed by David Wilcock, and he gave information about this White Dragon Group, because those are very wealthy individuals who try to influence politicians and people in power, and they have their own force, and they're working together with the Galactic Federation of Light. And those arrests are now taking place. They have been taking place the last few days, and they're happening right now.
Yeah, I know.
Well, okay, but that's happening. So you can expect, Wilbert, that...
That a change is going to come.
Yeah, they're happening right now.
Yeah. Could I... I think perhaps two things...
We have 2 minutes before we have to sign off.
Okay, well, let me first tell about the products that are being made by slaves, real slaves in China. David Kilgour and David Matus did their investigation, so they got a real long list. For instance, Christmas trees or clothes or everything, so they've got a list. But Harry Wu, he's a Chinese dissident who lived, he survived some 18 years in those camps. And if you check his website, the Lao Gai Research Foundation, lrf.org, I think. If you check this one, he's got a way longer list of all these products made by pure slavery, from metal objects, real huge, till the tiniest of things that are made from straws. Well, if you drink the liquor,
straws,
the straws.
Yeah, plastic straws.
Yeah, so he's got a real long list. And for instance, you may also check the site from the Wai Jing Sheng Foundation. He's another dissident. He also survived some 18 years. And he states, you have to boycott all Chinese products. I met him last year in Rotterdam, here in the Netherlands. And he says the way things are produced, are manufactured in China today, it's devastating for the Chinese laborers. You have to stop this way of the pressure and the speed they have to work at and the way they have to sleep and eat and all. He says it's really devastating. So his opinion, you have to boycott all the Chinese products. I think it's, for most people, way too far to go that far to boycott all products. But I think, in essence, it's the only way to...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as I said, I know examples of companies, I mean, huge corporations like Sony, Samsung, and Apple boycott.
Yeah.
Boycott and buy Panasonic. That's the message.
It's now ended? Or?
Well, I just want to thank you, Wilbert.
Okay.
So maybe for the listeners, you can share your email address.
Yeah.
And are you willing to share your phone number?
No, not my telephone.
Not your phone number. Okay.
I'll give you my email address again. It's called wilbert@cipfg.nl. And can I just one message about Tenkat, or is it too long? It's just short.
Well, we have, I mean, at 9 o'clock. We have to stop. So you have a poem to share?
No, I don't really need to address the poem. I think I'll rather have just some information, if you don't mind.
Well, if it can be in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah, it's really.
Okay.
It's about a Dutch company. It's called Royal Tenkate. They used to manufacture just clothes, and they signed a memorandum that they will cooperate with the manufacturing of the Chinese army clothes. It's a Dutch company who is collaborating with the Chinese Nazis today. And the strange thing is that Johan Cruyff, he's a famous Dutch football coach and player, he is being sponsored by the very same company, because his Johan Cruyff Foundation, it's got a playground, and it's manufactured also by Tenkate. So I addressed Johan Cruyff 4 years ago because he supported the Special Olympics in Shanghai. I told him about the crematories, and he didn't want to have to do anything with my protest. He says, I don't do politics. But here he's heavily involved in the Chinese army industry, because his sponsor, they make the Chinese army clothes. So you can check the Tenkate website, and these it's simply out. It was in the Telegraaf, a Dutch right-wing newspaper. It was very openly. You can simply read it. And if you check the website, www.tenkate.com.
Can you spell Tenkate?
Yes. www.tenkate.com.
Okay. Well, this was very crucial information, very relevant, very interesting.
Okay.
Wilbert, I want to thank you.
Thank you,
my dear friends, next week we'll be back on ET First Contact Radio. I'll be back, your host Martin Horst. And I will probably have a guest. I don't know who it will be yet, so I will organize this week. I'm not a lot on the internet because of the Occupy movement, but I will find somebody. And love you all. Love and light. Namaste. Signing off now, ET First Contact Radio, your host Martin Horst. Namaste.